Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are hanging out, well, with somebody you might call Ducks, but I call him a friend. And, well, he's still hanging out at home, hot off the heels of a conference. Am I right, Ducks? Am I
shift? That's happens? Right. We're in the middle of it.
Oh, so you're still in the middle shift. Of it. Still in the middle of it.
Yeah. Shift happens week online. We split it up the entire week, two sessions a day. But so far, it's been amazing.
Now, for people who are listening, because they will be listening to this for weeks and months ahead, let's just pretend that it's all, you know, middle of July. How are people going to catch up on all the goodness? Because there's one session, which I admit I have not watched yet, but I do want to watch. It's with FedEx. I want to watch that session to see how they adopt it and did everything else. But for everybody else listening, how can they catch up on what's going on?
Great question. All they have to do is go to our website, shifthappenscon.com. And they'll be able to watch it on demand. The FedEx session was yesterday, and boy, it was a great session, a lot of learnings, and a lot of engagement going on.
Yeah, and these are big players. These aren't little guys. I mean, FedEx obviously is, I mean, everything in that world especially is very, very time sensitive, right? You're literally moving goods and services across the country, across the world. And so downtime is quite literally, I mean, it's dollars for every company, but especially for FedEx, when you have drivers on the road, like, you've got to be on it. So that's why I want to go back and see how that one played out for them.
I mean, it was a great story of how they move essentially 250,000 people, 280,000 to be specific,
wow,
to Office 365. And as you may imagine, it's not just knowledge workers. It's mm-hmm. everybody, including first-line colleagues that are out in the airport loading packages on the plane. So a lot of good stories and use cases and how they're taking advantage of Office 365, Teams, SharePoint, et cetera.
Yeah, it's one of those things where even if you're not FedEx, if you're that size, for example, I think understanding the unique use cases of how people are actually applying the software, because we've talked a lot about how Teams is I'm going to steal your term because I really like it, a business OS. And because it's so flexible and there's so many things to do, people take different approaches. Like on Petri, we have a really unique workflow for editorial content, how people see an item, claim an item, collaborate on an item before it ends up on our site. But FedEx, I'm sure, has just really, really intrinsic and deep insights onto how their workflow is impacted by Teams. And that's what I find interesting.
Yeah, and then another example, in today's session, we had the Indiana Office of Technology talking about how they're adopting Teams, but also cognizant about a specific use case for their Department of Revenue on how they handle federal tax information. So that's something we talk a lot about, compliance, regulation, security, but they walk through how they're leveraging Teams, but also making sure that they comply with FTI regulation or handling sensitive information as well. So I encourage everybody to watch the sessions on demand. It's been amazing, practical. Let's just say it's not your typical Contoso session.
Typical, or what about a Northwind Trader session?
No, we didn't get them this year.
Oh, we didn't get them. Hook, line, and sinker. But that is good stuff. Those links, by the way, everybody, as we always do, will be dropped down below us, so that way you can catch up, because it's definitely worth your time. Unfortunately, I wish we could have been there in person this year, because we had a heck of a time last year. But, you know, given the current environment, no big surprise that we all got to watch from a little bit further away this year. So, yeah, here we are. Ducks, couple news items that I think are very notable.
Sir?
One, I'm curious to see if you will use this in your family. We're a little bit mixed in our household, but Teams, the platform that we all love, is now technically available in a preview state for home usage as well.
Yes.
The idea is that you can just log in with your MSA, or you can sign up through them with just a phone number, and then take Teams that you use at work, at least many people do, and then use it for your personal life. I'm curious to see, do you think you will be able to use it at home?
I think I'm able to, because today, here's the use case. Me and my wife, we have a Samsung Galaxy phone.
Mm-hmm.
My son has an iPhone. My daughter has an iPod. She doesn't have a phone number yet.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how we all collaborate, right? We can't use iMessage.
Yep.
We can't use WhatsApp because my daughter doesn't have a phone number. So what we actually use today is Skype. It works well.
Okay. Yeah.
Teams has more capability. So
yep.
I'm assuming, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm assuming the fact that my daughter has Windows ID or Live ID or whatever it's called now, Microsoft account, she should be able to log into Teams. So
yes.
I'm excited about it. We're definitely going to try it.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. Now, we in our household are a little bit different because, one, my daughter is quite young. She she does have an iPad, but it's not really, you know, we're not collaborating on anything about who's where in the world. But we're primarily a text message family because we all have iMessage. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think Microsoft's got a good pitch, right? Their last public number was 75 million daily active users at work. And I think they're hoping that they can get people just to click their little face icon, switch to their MSA, and then go through their own productivity schedule. It's honestly not a bad pitch. That's why I was real curious to see how you guys take on it, because every household is obviously going to be different. But at the end of the day, I think it's a smart move. We'll just see how it plays out.
It is. I think it will work because OneDrive's already like that, right? So if you have the OneDrive app, it's easy to switch between my Office 365 OneDrive, my personal OneDrive, where, by the way, all my pictures back up to.
Yep.
So my family, as I subscribe to the Microsoft 365 family plan, everybody has OneDrive. All their precious pictures that they take on their phone gets backed up on OneDrive. So I think this idea of personal and work on Teams, I think it's going to work.
So I actually talked with Microsoft a while ago, and they said, you know, what would actually get Brad to use it at home? And I'll be curious to see your feedback on this, but I think it makes sense. It would be really cool if all this stuff tied into their service, Flipgrid especially, because that's their schooling and education, but it also needs this third-party schooling services like Blackboard and everything else. I think that might be another gateway path to get families to really start using it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it, so we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. We will see other things that are happening, and this one is actually quite good. I honestly thought it did happen, but it hasn't yet. But To-Do, the personal task list and all that good stuff, is going to make it so much easier to be used at work now. It's going to now let you share those lists with your Office 365 account. It's just a nice little thing that if you're using that for personal and work, now you can access it from anywhere. It's just a smart little update.
Yeah, I love To-Do since their acquisition way back when, but I think the deeper integration and really the way I look at To-Do now, it seems like it's a tasking service across Office 365. It aggregates and roll up all your tasks, you know, Outlook and also emails that you flag. It's just an easy way to access it directly on your phone with the app as well. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's the way I pitch it to or tell people about it is like, look, if you're already using Office 365 and you have another task list, just give To-Do a shot because it's going to make your life just a lot easier, candidly. I think it's just the best way to describe it. So it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Speaking of other good stuff, Ducks, because I can't verify this internally, like personally, but I have a feeling that Microsoft has loaded up people working on Teams features like 10 to 1, like what it was probably a year ago, because they are rolling out stuff like crazy. Skype Teams Federation is now complete. So hopefully, as long as, you know, that's working on everybody's tenant and it's enabled, by the way, you got to make sure you turn that stuff on. You should be able to access those Skype contacts now from inside of Teams. Just another little thing. So
wait, I got a question for you on that. So now that Teams personal preview is coming out, what's the play now with Skype consumer?
Do you want the company line or do you want the opinion?
Whatever you can say here.
The technical company line is that, hey, we are going to keep supporting Skype consumer into the future. That is what they keep saying. I have to believe that there's going to be one day, Ducks, you go double click on your blue Skype icon on your desktop, and as it's opening, it turns into purple and you're just using Teams and you just don't even realize it. There's no reason for them at this point to keep Skype consumer around. Now that they've got this Teams, they're going to get it up and running and make it smooth and have it on every platform. And then I think we'll just see that migration happen. And it's not unprecedented. Microsoft's done it before. If you remember, MSN Messenger got absorbed into Skype. And so, I think that's where they're headed. It only makes sense.
Yeah, most likely it'll follow the path of Teams Enterprise, right? When Teams first came out, Skype for Business was still there. I mean, the on-prem version is still there, but slowly but surely, Skype for Business is pretty much no more.
Yeah, I mean, you would be kind of crazy to spin up a new Skype for Business service. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Same with Skype. And it's just going to, I really think you're just going to open the Skype app one day and it's just going to be Teams. And the vast majority of people will never even know because it does all the basic things, but they'll find all these additional features now rolling into the app. So,
yeah, it's sentimental to me because it's such a good brand. I've been using Skype even before Microsoft bought it. So I guess it's like ICQ, right? When I started my first IM.
Wasn't Skype based out of London initially? Wasn't it? I don't think
it was. No. It's, I think, Sweden.
Sweden. I knew it wasn't a U.S. company. Yeah.
And then ICQ way back, I don't know if you remember, this
I
is
remember
before
ICQ.
AIM. Yeah, it was an Israeli company, so.
Man, so this is like a throwback. My brothers and I used ICQ, and if you ever sent somebody a file, it had this really unique dialogue where it said incoming file transfer.
Oh yeah.
But what my brothers and I would do is we'd run into each other's rooms and like crank the volume up before sending that. And so like you'd just be typing along and then you'd just get this incoming file transfer bomb and it would just be massively blasting through all the speakers. Man, that is that's an old one. But Dux, I have a question for you, and
yes, sir.
This one comes from a reader, and this okay. one could be tricky because I know enough about tenant to tenant stuff, but I don't mm-hmm. know a lot. But Mr. Greg asks, he says, our company acquired a smaller firm with about 30 Office 365 seats, and we are trying to decide the best path for migrating this data to our larger tenant. Does Dux have any recommendations?
So there's two answers, right? The first answer is, if you want to use the native way of doing so, mm-hmm. so the way you do it is workload by workload. So for example, there's guidance out there, and we'll put the link here on how you move mailboxes from one tenant to the other. And there's guidance out there how you move SharePoint Online, OneDrive to OneDrive, et cetera. But there are things natively that's not easy to move. If you start using things like Teams or Planner or more of the advanced workload, it takes a lot of contortion or mm-hmm. sometimes even writing PowerShell script, or you have to go to GitHub and download some code that people already written to do it successfully. That's my first answer. The second answer is third-party tools. So for example, we have a technology called AppPointFly that could do tenant-to-tenant migration. So essentially you say, take stuff from tenant one and move it to tenant A to tenant B. So that's an easy way, and frankly, that's what a lot of organizations are doing, especially in this day and age of mergers and acquisition, or just even a simple thing as moving tenant because they want a different name, tenant name. So those are the two options, but definitely, again, if you take option one, you'll have to move workload per workload. Option two, third-party tools could just move it for you easily.
Let me ask you this. So would it be possible, because while 30 people is, it's there could be potentially a ton of data behind there. It's not a huge org, right? It's not sure. It's not a FedEx. It's not 3,000 employees.
Yep.
So potentially you could just move the mailboxes over, and then could you leave the Teams data there and then references? Is there any way to archive that data so you could reference it as needed and then you know, not
well,
do with the migration?
I mean, you could, but most likely what's going to happen too, they're going to sunset the old environment, right? So mm-hmm. you can actually take the data and somehow download it or archive it, as you said, and then just figure out a way, if you just want to keep it locally somewhere just to reference or just in case, you can certainly do that. And then just start net new in the new environment. You can absolutely do that. Yep.
Yeah, because that's an interesting option, because you definitely don't want to abandon the data, at least especially if there's like design systems in there where, you know, you collaborate on how to build a product, but you may not need that every day and you might just need to reference it for when you're rolling out an update or something like that. So that could potentially be another option for Greg. But Greg, we'd love to know what path you end up choosing, by the way. Please follow back up. Actually, I've got your email, so I will follow up with you regardless either way. And hopefully you can tell us the path that you take on your little journey here, because you're definitely not alone. To Dux's point, there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions going on right now, just given the environment. So interesting stuff. And Dux, I want to hit on something that I got an email from Dux, and I thought it had a very good footer, because I am extremely guilty of this. And in Dux's emails, he writes, my working hours may not be your working hour. Please do not feel obligated to reply outside of your normal working hours. That is genuinely, my man, like a nice footer, because I'm the type of person that sees an email come in, especially, you know, if you're working with like a client or somebody who's supporting you, you want to be prompt, right? You want to get it back. You want to get an answer. You want to tell them that you're engaged and on it. But I read that and I was like, that's actually really nice. Like that is... I appreciated that. I just wanted to throw that out there, Dux.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's funny when you mentioned you want to talk about this. I'm like, what do you want to talk about? But anyway, so let me give you a quick background and context of this. Mm-hmm. So You know, as you know, and for those that may not be familiar, my role and my responsibility covers our global business. And pre-COVID, I used to travel, and Brad knows, all over. So I'm in some crazy time zone. That's one. And second is, because of travel, the only time I can truly focus and catch up on my emails are weekends. And I noticed that, especially when I catch up on my emails on weekend, my intention is not for people to respond, but I just want to get it done, get it out of the way.
Sure.
But I notice, especially my team, colleagues that's a part of my organization, early on I noticed they would respond. And I say, hey, you know, no, don't worry about it. I don't need it right now. I just want to get this email off my inbox. But again, I can only do that so much because it happens all the time. And then I came across this tweet, actually, somebody from Microsoft, Shauna, pretty much in the same situation. And she shared that this is the footer that she puts on her email signature. I go, wow, this is really cool. So I did that, and it's been almost a year now. And you're not the first person who kind of provided some feedback around it. So people do appreciate it. And
yeah,
you know, I mean what I said in this footer, because again, for me, I work in crazy hours, and certainly in this day and age where time doesn't matter anymore and we have different situations at home. So I don't want people to watch that. When I send an email, they'll have to respond. For me, if I need something right away or I need a response right away, I won't be emailing. I'd just be picking up the phone, calling people.
Yeah, it's interesting from this vantage point because I talked to, I believe you know Stephen Rose, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was talking with him earlier in the week, and he actually has sort of the opposite. And I align with what Stephen did, but I like what you have done as well. He actually has a flow setup, a Power Automate flow setup, so that when his boss emails him, he actually gets a push notification. So this is like the polar opposite. Now, it's a neat use of flow, but it's sort of the polar opposite end of the spectrum. But he pointed out a good reasoning for this. He goes, now I don't have to check my email all the time wondering if my boss has emailed me. He goes, I'll just get a push notification and I can decide right then and there if I'm going to respond. But I don't have to open my email up every hour thinking, okay, did, you know, XYZ email me, and then I need to respond. So that was just an interesting use case.
No, it's pretty cool. So it's someone very specific, right?
Yep.
Versus, and for somebody like him, he's so public. I'm sure he gets tons of emails and fan mails for that matter. So I think that's a great use of technology.
Yeah, it's just different ways people think about it. And when he initially told me about it, I thought, oh man, this is like getting more addicted to email. But then he explained it in that way that, like, hey, this is actually reducing my addiction. And I was like, that's actually kind of brilliant. So it just different ways.
Speaking of email, and you said something that triggers something in my head is, so you said, hey, have you caught up with the latest email service called hey.com?
Yes.
It's amazing.
So you use it? I have not signed up
I'm
for it
yet.
Yeah,
part of the, I got the invite early on. I've been using it for 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. It's just a different way of how email is set up.
Yeah. So for people who aren't aware, there's a company, it's just hey.com. It's actually created by the founder of Basecamp. Yeah. In which Basecamp is a great group collaboration project. If you're not using Teams, you can go check out Basecamp. That is another good quality product. And the idea here is that it gives you maximum control effectively over your email. You can authorize who and who can and can't get into your inbox. Now, the big caveats here is that it's not particularly cheap when you think about it in terms of like Outlook.com or Gmail, because it can be, I believe, at minimum $99 a year. And if you want
a
vanity account, like if you want a two-letter, it's $1,000 a year.
Yeah, three-letter, like DUX, is $350 a year.
Yeah, so it's not for everybody and it's not cheap. Now, Dux, the reason why I have not adopted it yet is I'm very much an inbox zero person. At the end of every day, my inboxes across the board, personal and work, are always like 99% of the time either at one or zero. And so for me to pay additional money to have additional overhead to manage who's getting in or out wasn't quite worth it yet.
Sure.
But for other people like yourself, I'm curious why you jumped into the hay.
So yeah, so I haven't paid yet. I'm still in that trial honeymoon period. What I like about it, so what you mentioned, right, you can decide who comes in and out, that's one, but it's beyond that. As I start using, the way it's organized, it's just a different way of using email. So for example, they have three buckets. Like in regular email, you can create folders.
Yep.
over there, there's just three buckets. Essentially, it's your inbox where emails you want to act on. Mm-hmm. And they have this thing called the feed, where essentially all your marketing emails go to. And then the third bucket is transactions. So imagine if you bought stuff from Amazon or airline tickets. And then certainly you can put meta tags and labels as well. So that's that's interesting, right? So not only can I decide which emails can come in or not, if I say thumbs down, it's never going to come in anymore. But then it routes to the appropriate bucket. The other thing is, let's say I want to share the email. The traditional model is I'll forward the email to somebody. Mm-hmm. The email itself has a link, so I can share the email with you.
Oh.
So it's just a different way of thinking. And then they have these things called clip notes, where I can clip specific, I don't know, numbers. You know how sometimes you dig in your email, what's that password again?
Yep.
Or I need that picture. So you can clip these little things, and through AI, it will figure out the relationships with email. It's just fascinating. It's just really an awesome way on how they redesign and reorganize how email is being used. So what I've done so far, because I have like four different personal email accounts.
Yeah.
So I forwarded everything to this. And yeah, it just made it easier for me to manage my personal emails.
Interesting. I'd be curious if anybody else has tried it. I know there's quite a bit of people who are happy with it and making that plunge. And obviously it's not for everybody. But the other thing too is I have a really hard time is that I have brad@outlook.com and I have a really hard time giving that one up just because it's just a nice, clean, and concise email.
Yeah, I have ducks@outlook.com as well.
It's a blessing and a curse. I'm sure you get a ton of spam and just junk that flows in there from people just randomly typing stuff in. But Dux, what else is happening in your world, my man? How are you doing? Weather should be pretty good there. It's been pretty good here. I'm curious, you know, everything else going well in your life?
Yeah, everything's great. You know, summer officially has started. Mm-hmm. And boy, I just have to say the past couple of weeks has just been a good... Maybe good's not the right word, but it's a humbling learning and relearning, unlearning experience in light of all the social injustice that's going on. But as an organization, we've, you know, traditionally and in the past have been working hard trying to internally and externally better our diversity, inclusion, and allyship initiative. But we've doubled down on it and doing a lot of internal initiatives and also external initiatives as well. To help out during this COVID-19 crisis.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts these days, I think is the appropriate way to say it. And then things keep getting more complex because software updates come out. You got to keep the org running. You got to keep the ship moving. Yeah. And then you have all a bunch of background noise. Noise is probably the inappropriate word, but background, things that are keeping you busy. And so, well, Dux, on that note, very much appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. As Shift happens going on, make sure everybody clicks that link, check out all that good stuff, because there are definitely some sessions you're going to want to check out. And Dux, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll catch everybody else right back here next time.